even if you're beating bad teams and you're playing a little above your heads, it doesn't mean that you're not playing at a good level of baseball. So there's something to at least look out for in regards to that. But now it's time to check in with our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. James, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, JP. How are you?
Have you recovered from Christmas in July?
Yes, absolutely. We are good to go.
All right, so what did you see last night? Because I want you to explain to people what I saw last night, because we ran into each other in the flats area, and there was a bunch of boats, there was a bunch of lights, and it was a ridiculousness. It was just a mix of festivity, and I didn't even know that Christmas in July was happening until it started happening.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, right? So boats going by with Christmas lights and people. Were you still there when they got to honking and like were trying to get the attention? I wasn't sure.
No, I went to Mitchell's at that point.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure. So yeah, it was kind of funny. But yeah, a lot of boats, a lot of Christmas lights, more Christmas lights than I've ever seen in the month of July in my life. But you know, and I think there was a Santa at one point or another. But yeah, it was all right.
Why were they honking? That doesn't make any sense. And
to get people to wave, I swear. And I'm like, man, you guys really need that wave, huh?
Now, to be fair, to set the scene for people, so we're sitting there in the flats, James and I and a couple of our friends and your beautiful wife and my beautiful fiance, and we're sitting there and we're watching these boats go, and one boat had a Johnny Manziel type, fixture, really what it comes down to, like the little goose, and it was on top, but it wasn't lit up, and we're like wondering, like, what's going on here? All of these other boats are lit up, this boat is not lit up, and then all of a sudden it got lit up, and then we all just exploded and lost our mind.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool, no doubt about it.
it was just different. It's just, you don't expect that. When you're going out, anything can happen in the flats is what I've been told. Anything can happen. It's like, it's our version of Vegas. It truly is. I really do believe that. But I did not expect that one at all. But I did expect a good pitching outing from Clevinger and from the Indians yesterday, and they delivered on just that. James, we still have no sign of a Bauer trade, though, correct? That seems to be, as we inch closer and closer to Wednesday and with an important series on the horizon, it seems as if parts of the idea of Trevor Bauer being moved is just kind of wiped away.
Yeah, I mean, as of now, I'd say that. I have maintain that it's more likely he stays put here in Cleveland through the deadline than not, but you just never know, especially with this new deadline. Is there a team, well, not new deadline, but firm deadline, I guess I should say, is there a team that gets desperate or forces the issue and comes after Bauer because they prefer him over the other starters reportedly available on the trade market? Who knows? So I think the Indians are still open to dealing him, but I wouldn't say it's likely, and I think that anything you hear between now and then probably comes from other teams, right? Like what we heard in the winter about Bauer and Kluber, those deals, I think that was coming from other markets. I think that was coming from other organizations trying to get one of those guys. So I don't think the Indians by any stretch are desperate to move Bauer, especially with their recent play. And I think it's more likely than not that he stays up right here in Cleveland.
Indians are within one game of the Twins. James, do you want this to impact what they do at the deadline?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think that they've shown enough now. Jose Ramirez, his resurgence, the young guys that have come through, and you were talking about him before. I mean, Oscar Mercado, the fact that he's having the season he's had completely changes your lineup. Right, just the way you look at it, now having him in that two spot, being the bridge between Lindor and Santana, it's huge. So, yeah, I think so. I think if they can find a right-handed bat, a right-handed power hitter, it's something they have to do. And I think they not only can find one, they can add one for cheap. It's not like it's going to take a ton to get some of these guys that are on the market. It really just, it's up to the Indians and their preference who they want. The rentals that we see that are going to be free agents in the winter, if they are legitimately available. And then the other thing here is teams like the Reds and other teams across the league, them making up their mind, are we sellers or are we buyers? Because if they're sellers, the Yasiel Puig is perfect here in Cleveland for a couple months. And if they're not, if Cincinnati decides to stay put and stay in here and see what they could do in the Central, well, then that takes a couple bats off the market. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And Yeah, that firm deadline certainly changes things a bit.
James, I might hurt myself reaching around to pat myself on the back for starting the Oscar Mercado Rookie of the Year conversation. Anthony Lima just got privy to it last night. He was tweeting on about it last night. I'm pretty sure I asked you a question about that last week. So at some point, I have to give myself credit, right?
No, that's fair. Absolutely. And last night, I don't update every single day, but I checked after you asked me that question. He was leading of the rookies in the American League that have 200 or more at-bats. He was leading in batting average, on base percentage. He was up there stolen base-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's certainly a legitimate case, especially when you look at the Indians before him. And I get it, there was injuries and stuff like that, but the Indians after him, because not only is he an everyday player, not only can he bring it defensively, but he's just really helped change that lineup in just the way they have to pitch, opponents have to pitch to Lindor through Santana. I mean, really, 1 through 5, outside of the revolving door and the cleanup spot, they're great, right? I mean, with Jose back, and the fact that Mercado is 24 and a kid, really. I mean, it's his first big league action, consistent big league action. I think it's huge that he's been able to emerge in an outfield that certainly needed it.
We're joined by our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. So, James, there was an exchange after last night's game. So, as you know, Jason Kipnis got a hold of one early, and he sees some of the Twitter discussions that have been going on around Jason Kipnis and his slot in the lineup. I'm going to play this clip from you, courtesy of your friends over at Fox Sports Ohio.
We know how Twitter works. Everyone looks at the lineup. What's Kip hitting fourth? Why is Freeman hitting third? But you guys keep winning.
First off, it's because Twitter's a bunch of idiots, and you can quote me on that. You guys are stupid out there. Pay attention, and you'll realize what's going on. Freeman's stepping in to keep the rest of the lineup the same way, to not cause waves up and down the order, and he's done a fantastic job, so give him credit.
All right, it's a two-part question. One, do you think Twitter is full of a bunch of idiots? And then number two, is that an odd time for Kipnis to kind of flex on everyone?
One, I think that a lot of athletes feel that way. I don't, but I also understand why Jason Kipnis would be like, yeah, of course these idiots are wondering why I'm hitting cleanup and the point of it. Two, weird time, I don't know. I mean, hell, the Indians are rolling right now. Even if he hasn't had a ton of success over the past couple of weeks, he just had a grand slam. So that's fine if he wants to give his opinion there.
But James, before that grand slam, I got more production out of the water cooler than I did Jason Kipnis.
I don't think it's that bad. I really don't. I don't think that it's as bad as people are making it seem. Now, again,
it's not great.
Should he be hitting cleanup? Is he going to be hitting cleanup on a World Series type roster? No, he shouldn't be. But if you need him to at times, it's almost like Mike Freeman, like, he can do that because anything you ask him to do, if you ask him to give you a sack fly, he knows how to do it. Like, he's a veteran, disciplined, experienced hitter. So I think that's why he's there. But I agree with you. Long term, there's no way you could have Jason Kipnis hitting cleanup.
The Indians are not going to bring up Yu Chang and go through that again, even though I want them to. I made the pitch for you with Nolan Jones last week. I understand it's not going to happen. They're not going to do anything with Yu Chang either, even though we've seen him.
Strain. You're selling, and that clip must have rubbed you the wrong way because you played it.
No, I've sold on Jason Kipnis, 2.5 years ago now. I mean, it's like it wasn't like an overnight thing where I've all of a sudden just been out on Jason Kipnis. I've been out on Jason Kipnis since after the 2016 World Series.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And that was him with being about as nice of a sweetheart as you could possibly imagine to me throughout that entire 2016 postseason. I told you before, I bonded with Kipnis, you know, outside of Illinois is where he was born. He went to high school over there, and his entire family is Cubs fans. And there was a bonding moment there between Jason and myself, and we would talk constantly after games, and I really did respect him and liked him. I still do respect him and like him as a person. I think he's great for a soundbite, and I think he's very open with his time to media members, but ultimately, I wouldn't be doing this job right if I didn't shoot you, the audience, straight and tell you that if I told you Jason Kipnis was good at baseball, no one could possibly respect me as anything close to being a sports talk radio host when it comes to talking baseball, because I would just be lying to you. I'd be a fraud, James. I'd be a friend. You know that. I don't want to be a fraud.
That's fair. No, and I get it. And I understand not just your, but everybody's frustrations with Kipnis hitting in the cleanup spot especially. I mean, look, he's going to be on the roster. His last year of his deal, he's going to be in the lineup. Like, I've already accepted that. And there might be some people, like you just said, you're thinking about Yu Chang, or maybe you want him to trade for a second baseman at the deadline. I don't see that. But what I do see is them acquiring a cleanup hitter. So then suddenly Kipnis is moving down in the order a bit, and no one feels as angry or excited or whatever word you want to use that Kipnis is in the cleanup spot, because I don't think it'll happen past the day.
Well, and so I brought up Yu Chang because Yu Chang is reportedly garnering interest across the big leagues. And I guess my question to you was, if the deal was right or the situation was right, do you believe this Indians front office would trade Yu Chang for someone that could help them this year?
I do. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think they'll certainly be willing to listen. Now, it really does depend on, or willing to even be aggressive and use him as a bargaining chip. It really just depends on how they view him, though. Do they view him like the rest of the league, that he's this building block long-term? Because if so, then he probably is off limits, right? If so, he's probably going to be one of those guys that they see if he can play his way onto the big league roster next year at the start of the year. But I think that you have to be open, if you're the Indians, to dealing some of these prospects to get what you need. And maybe it isn't just a rental bat. Maybe you can somehow find a bat that's, you know, under control for 2, 3, 4 years. And Domingo Santana, to me, would be ideal from that aspect and the power aspect. So who knows? Who knows what they have to do? Or what the asking price would be from Seattle. But, yeah, that's certainly a guy in Yu Chang that they should be open to dealing, especially if they aren't all in with him, right? Like with Oscar Mercado, all in. Last year with Steve Bieber, they were all in on his future and his future here in Cleveland. If you're not all in with Yu Chang, and even if there's a red flag or two, or you're not sure how good he's going to be, then with your team rolling like it is, dealing him, it shouldn't be something that is off the table.
I agree with you. I feel like it's diametrically opposed to what this front office has kind of conveyed in their messages to us, you know, where they don't want to rid anything of the prospects of the future for the cost of this team right now, because for the past 2 years, they felt as if they got burned by the postseason results. And I understand that to a degree, but it would just be going completely against the idea and the message that they've sent out to us if they were to do something like trade Yu Chang for, I don't know, a utility infielder or someone that can play multiple positions on the field.
Yeah, I get it. And that's why this deadline, when you compare it to the past three, is going to be extremely hard on Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, because not only do they have to decide long-term or short-term, but it's long-term too, right? It's not like they are buyers and the record's there and they need to be buyers. At the same time, they're trying to retool this roster long-term and the organization long-term, and it's really, really hard to do. It might be one of the hardest things for a front office to do in sports. And so far it's worked, you know? I mean, despite all these injuries and things that they've gone through, they've found a way to have a really successful past 7 weeks. So they need to make sure that when that schedule gets tougher here in just over a week, heck, less than a week, when that schedule gets tougher, your team is good enough at the deadline, and that means they got to improve somewhere. Your team is good enough post-deadline to be all right and stay afloat. Because if they don't make a move, JP, and suddenly some of these guys go cold and you got that really tough schedule coming up for the next couple of weeks, we could feel totally different about the Indians. So I think that they need to not only stay hot, it goes without saying, but add a piece here at the deadline, even if it's with the long-term idea in mind. So look at guys that aren't rentals. You know, over the past couple of years, that's what they've done. They've went after rental bats, essentially. Okay, I get it. Understood it then. They were straight buyers. Now go find the guy that's under control. And if you give up prospects, you don't feel as bad because he can contribute for years to come. So I think that's what what the Indians front office needs to pursue.
He's our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes, and we'll do it again next Sunday as usual.
Sounds good. Thanks, JP.
Thanks so much. James Rapine right there. Great stuff out of him. We'll come on back. We'll dissect some of that stuff, in particular the Chris Antonetti decisions that he has to make. And I do look at Yu Chang as an interesting part of all this, mainly because I wonder whether or not he can pull the trigger on doing something that fundamentally goes against what he has kind of been preaching to us over the duration of the previous 12 months.